I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yo, yo, yo. Nah.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Something just came over me just then. Okay. Kia ora, everyone.
And... welcome back to Culture Vulture, your bona fide favourite pop culture podcast, where we may have just blown your eardrums. Laura, talk to us about how you are, maybe.
Well, Luz, I think what you're asking is what describes my week. And this week, everyone, it's the high-low. Not the high-low, which was my favourite podcast when it was running. But I have tonsillitis, and it's really not great. And I think Luce's intro there just made me blow one of my tonsils.
Like, to give you all a little behind the scenes, before this, Laura had literally gotten off of a phone call or an online doctor's appointment and had to take a photo of her tonsils. And you all know, we've all been there. When your throat's basically like white and pussy and it's disgusting. Oh. Sorry for that word. I hate that word.
Sense it.
But I'm assuming it's high-low because you've also just like done one of the most gorgeous hollybobs I've ever seen.
This is the thing. We can't complain because she's back from hollybobs and I went to Mallorca to live my Love Island dream. Oh. And it was... and also the high-low is probably a great way to describe that as well. It was probably the most, I mean, Stanley Tucci like called it the most beautiful place he's ever been to and the man has seen the world.
And the water was just...
The water. This is, I think I wrote about this in the newsie, but this is melodramatic, but I literally got into the sea and we were also the only people swimming because the ocean was so cold. We got into the ocean and I almost cried. I hadn't been in the ocean in a year.
It was the way that it even looked amazing on camera. Like when you put it in the newsletter, I was like, no way does this ever turn out this good, like when you've taken a photo of it.
It was the most beautiful place. However, when I was telling everyone at work that I was going to Mallorca, I definitely got some looks that were a little bit like,
oh, you trashy Kiwi.
Yes, which I discovered on the plane over is warranted. I sat next to maybe like three groups of like 16 girls, guys, stag doos, hens, like lads trips. And it was the most chaotic like EasyJet flight I've been on in my life.
Yeah, I honestly, when you said... I went to Spain. I was like, oh my God, gorgeous, relaxing, sleepy. And then just then on the podcast, I didn't realize it was Mallorca that you went to.
Mallorca.
Okay, like girl was partying it up. Well, because wasn't it for Tucci Light's birthday?
It was. And he's turned an age that I don't care to like talk about on the podcast. But I was having some slight issues with it. So the holiday was also for me.
Yes. Laura has the most beautiful husband in the world. We get on every week at least once the age comes up. And I don't give a fuck because I think it's like really cool and hot. And you're like, hey, existential, I needed a holiday for a birthday.
I needed actually, mummy needs to go to Mallorca.
What I love me, having never met Tucci Light in real life, being like,
what?
I know. We did a FaceTime once. Well, not me and him, me and you and him. Just to be clear, everybody.
One day we'll get him on the pod so everyone can meet him. But for the sake of time, Luz, what describes your week?
People can probably tell what describes my week is turbo, a word that Belle uses all the time that I feel like really does describe me at the moment. Been doing quite a few speaking events, which unfortunately, because I have no fucking self-restraint, have turned into like huge... get to know all the other speakers and get really hammered on mezcal and have a 3-day hangover events. And that's fine, but I was telling Ruby the other day, thank God we have, like, I do not take this job for granted at all because It was so unprofessional how hungover I was on, like, Friday. I was like, Ruby, I'm in bed. I can send one newsletter and everything else I'll do on the weekend. And she was like, Lucy, I do not care. Obviously, we don't put pressure on each other. We just, like, do what we need to do. But I was, like, unprofessionally hungover. So, anyway, that was Turbo.
Well, oh, my God, what was it like meeting the other speakers? Because I feel like you've said before, it's always, like, people can be clicky or people can be...
This was a good one because I feel like in influencer land, if I'm ever brought in to speak at, like say, for example, I did an event for Meta, it was interesting because everyone has seen... you know, all these other speakers online and they know what they're like and or they feel like they know what like they're like and they recognise them, they can go up to them. We don't put our faces online, so you always feel a little bit like, ooh, no one actually knows who I am, so people aren't really going to talk to me till they've seen me on stage or whatever. But then at events like this, which was like industry, like talking about like, I don't know, the media and the future and AI and stuff like that, it's not so much about what you look like and how you present yourself online. It's more about like what you think. And so I always find speakers, they're always quite a bit older than me, which bless, if you're listening, love you all. But it means that they have so much wisdom to give me. Mm. And also they're really interested in what we do because it's like so fresh. And so I always prefer the more like intellectual businessy ones, yeah, than the like who follows you, like how many followers do you have type of thing.
I feel like we need to get you a TED talk. Are the TED people listening? Hello?
Are the TED people listening? And anyway, so Turbo, because I am off to Sydney tomorrow, just received my flights this morning, so I haven't been able to like plan it for another speaking event for TikTok, actually. It's going to be interesting. I feel like all the big social media companies are just like, shit you should care about. Boom, you know things.
This is amazing.
Yeah, and then... the week after, Rose and I are going to New York, so I'm talking at a thing called the World Congress of News Media. So I'm just like turbo, crazy, exciting.
The World Congress of News Media, what even is that? It sounds like Parliament.
It sounds like the New York Times want to understand Gen Z. So anyway, all of this to say, haven't written a single thing for what I'm going to present about yet, but I, what is it, fly by the something of my own something.
She's going to fly by the seat of her pants, I think is what you're...
Does that mean you just like take it as it comes and just like...
I think so, but also the word pants, I feel like I've got myself into trouble so many times here because I say pants when I'm like, oh, I love your pants, but that is like underwear here.
Underwear.
And the number of times... The number of times I've got to look.
Do you know what else I thought? It's like my mum used to call underwear knickers, and I don't think I've ever called them knickers. I think that's a generational like difference.
My mum called them knickers too.
Yeah, do you?
No.
Yeah, see? Like I feel like knickers just got taken out of the zeitgeist and now none of us used to wear
it. Okay, we'll use it as a mundane poll.
Yeah, I actually think I will. Also, saw Jason Momoa on Saturday night. He's so gorgeous.
How was the Fast and Furious? Was it your favourite one you've ever watched?
It was the second one I've ever watched and they're like really cheesy. I see how people like them, but they're really cheesy and too action-packed that I'm like, give me some relationships, give me some character development.
Have you seen that video on like how the name of each one of them is just like plucked out of thin air? And it's like one's called Fast and Furious. Exactly.
Yeah.
There's no cohesiveness.
Like, no. But anyway.
Anyway, naughty or nice, Luz?
Oh, shit. Naughty or nice. This is what I need to do. Naughty or nice. Okay, this is mostly just an update on what we talked about last time, which has been a few weeks. Oh, because, and I'm sure you've all heard, last week interviewed Ronald Gladden from Jury Duty.
Oh, so I can't think about it.
No, he was so cute. I know. They told me the night before, hey, do you want to interview Ron the next day? I was like, yes, I do, but.
She's a professional, everyone.
Luckily, Laura was away, so I was just like, well, I didn't even have an episode planned, so that's great. Anyway, this week, just letting you all know, Ed Sheeran won his court case. You know that last week or 2 weeks ago we spoke about how he had gone to court to basically argue that he didn't copy Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On song. You can go and hear all the context for that in the episode 2 weeks ago, but basically the jury ruled that he was not liable for copyright infringement And this is kind of good for Ed because he had said that if he lost the case, he was stopping music because he finds it really insulting to devote his whole life to being a performer and a songwriter and then have someone diminish it. I said last week on the podcast, I think, honestly, that's fair enough because cases like this, I think, are getting maybe more and more ridiculous after the Blurred Lines case sort of was ruled in favour of the person that took them to court. Anyway, he also said, I am obviously very happy with the outcome of the case and it looks like I'm not having to retire from my day job after all. But at the same time, I'm unbelievably frustrated that baseless claims like this are allowed to go to court at all. And he said it was devastating to be accused of stealing someone else's song and called himself, and this kind of makes me cringe, but he called himself just a guy with a guitar who loves writing music for people to enjoy. Sorry, as soon as you put out Shape of You, I think you like went into like I think you moved on. You sort of wanted, I think you wanted the cash. Like, he's like, no, it's famously not a good song. And then he said he'll never allow himself.
He's just a guy with a guitar, Luce. Give him a break.
No, but Laura, he will never allow himself, except for Shape of You and the last two albums, to be a piggy bank for anyone to shake. So there is that from Ed Sheeran. Really happy that he won his case, but also I think there's like taking the humbleness too far.
Yeah.
At the point where like you're incredibly rich and, you know.
Just a guy with a guitar. I mean, speaking of music, Luce, are we going to talk about Taylor Swift and Maddie Healy?
Well, that's my next. I was just about to say that was a nice story. And this, Taylor and Maddie, I like don't. I mean, there's that many people covering it. I'm not going to give you all like a timeline of Taylor and Maddie, but I just thought I'd gauge our thoughts on Taylor Swift and Maddie Healy because after sitting with it, I'm really into it.
I need you to basically give me a recap very quickly of the timeline because I knew very little and then I got shown a TikTok video of them maybe like looking like holding hands, but wasn't confirmed. Yeah. I just need a timeline real quick.
So, okay, this is all off the top of my head, everyone. So this is going to show you how like fucking in this I am. So obviously she broke up with Joe, her partner, of 6 years. And then I don't know how much later, like how much after that, not that long after it, maybe a few months, maybe a few weeks, bad timeline. Someone leaked to The Sun that her and Maddie Healy were dating. And at that point, I was like, it's The Sun. These are really baseless claims. Like, whatever. This is just two people that are especially hot right now on TikTok and someone's wanting to do some marketing wizardry. And then it was like, he's going to be at her Nashville show. Now, mind you, Maddie was in, I think, Manila. Or he was somewhere that was like 19 hours away. And so he'd just played his last show. Got on a flight almost directly. Someone's worked out the times that he would have had like an hour or a few hours to like get off the plane, get ready. And then he shows up at Taylor's Nashville show, stands in the celebrity tent. I will also say Phoebe Bridgers, one of his best mates, is opening for Taylor right now. So there's like a world where he's there to support Phoebe. He's actually been playing on stage with Phoebe, playing the guitar for her. But then people have come out and said Jack Antonoff has introduced them to each other. They're dating. They're madly in love. They met like back in 2014, I think. And they've both been seen wearing like each other's merch. Like they're big fans of each other.
Right. And that's cute.
Yeah, pretty cute. Then he's gone to every single tour. He's gone to like six shows now. He has been spotted like in an SUV with her going back to her place. He's been spotted out for dinner, maybe holding hands with Taylor, and Jack Antonoff was there too. He's been spotted with Blake Lively, with Gigi Hadid, like all her group of friends. He's been spotted with Mum and Dad Swift. So he's like in this. He's like, also there's all these videos of him just like fucking loving himself at the shows, like really supporting, just really like.
Wait, but was he always in this? Like, was he hanging out with the Swift parents prior to
this? No, he was not. So it's very, like, you know, if the shoe fits, it's like looking like they definitely could be dating, they definitely could be together, or they definitely could be fucking. Like, she's in her Reputation era, like, go off. Lots of people rebound to a bad boy, you know, I'm like happy for them. And Maddie Healy, like, I'm a Maddie Healy apologist, and I'm just like, he's, if you actually listen to his interviews, he's fucking smart, really, he's done some shit things, and there's lots of podcasts and media that you can read talking about that. But I think they're kind of cool together. I think it's kind of edgy for her. I can't.
Do you feel like there's lots of fan crossover as well?
I feel like there is. There's also, I've been seeing these like unhinged Reddit posts from Taylor Swift Reddit that's like mental health check-in for now that Taylor's dating Maddie. How are we all doing? I know it's like not what we wanted for her. It's like, okay, we cannot control these celebrities. They are in the same world. They'll understand each other on a level that none of us can understand. And
totally.
Honestly, go off, Taylor and Maddie, but that's like huge.
So that's nice, Luz? We're calling it nice?
I'm calling it nice for them and for me, not for some of the Swifties and not for some of the 1975 fans, but whatever.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And now, speaking of relationships,
Laura. I thought, what a beautiful segue, Luz.
What are you talking to us about today, Dar?
Well, everyone, it doesn't have a title, but I feel like it ties up very nicely with this. Today we're talking about exes, we're talking about relationship, we're talking about some trickle-down therapy from an actual therapist, direct from the source. Basically, a little bit of everything. So strap yourself in, Luz, as someone who famously loves to talk about love and relationships.
Lucy has famously been like, I don't want to say forced, but kind of like forced into this year, looking at a lot of relationship stuff, hearing from a lot of you, and like also watching people in my real life go through different relationships and different breakups. And I will say I've learned a lot and I'm kind of loving it. I'm feeling like equipped now from someone who famously has never cared about relationships in her life. Well, friendships, never cared about romantic relationships in her life. So love that we're continuing this education for me for what?
Well, it will all become apparent one day.
One day when I'm married and I'm like, wow, we have the perfect relationship. I'm sorry. It's because of all this learning I did in 2023.
It's because Laura lives with me and she's on call 24/7.
Because we live anyway. In our cute commune together. Okay.
Oh, okay. So I, a couple of years ago, I wrote this article and it was, well, it must have been more than a couple now because it was around Ariana Grande, Thank You, Next. It was around that time. What are we thinking? 2017, 2018?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, around then. Anyway, I wrote an article and I asked a bunch of people to send me like why they're grateful for their ex, essentially. And I had no idea what was going to come in. I did articles like this quite a bit. Where I would kind of put a call out and see what would come back. And it would be, I would publish it anonymously, but obviously I would know who sent it to me. So it was, and a lot of the time it was like my friends. Mm. So it was like a non, but also I felt like this really lovely agony aunt that just kind of knew everyone's problems.
Yeah.
And I did this call out because, and I asked people kind of what are the words that come flooding back to you, maybe years after a breakup, maybe days after a breakup, and kind of put them together to show the broad spectrum of what we feel. And some of them were rage and some of them were like, I still love you. Like there was such a mix. And we actually did it in the Newsy 2 weeks ago as well for this podcast. And I think a lovely way to kick this off is I'm going to read some of them out.
Yes.
Because I think it really sets the tone. This one says, hey, it was a good few years. It's part of who we are. All things work out for good. We're now with the right people and we helped each other get there. So thank you for that. Thanks for not talking me down post-breakup. I think all things considered, we ended well, and that's probably the most important thing. All the best.
Aww.
I love that. Thanks for not talking me down post-breakup. Yeah. That is something we could all learn from.
Because it's like a hard thing to do when you're in the heat of the moment. Like, just do everything with grace. I find that it's like very mature.
And in a place like, I mean, it's probably different here in London. I'm not dating, so I don't know. But like in a place like New Zealand, you're bound to see people again. These people are going to come back around. They're going to be in your life for a long time in some way or form.
And they'll tell people that you might date. You know, like they will tell someone and it's like, oh, well, I can't date them anymore because they think I'm a shit person thanks to my ex. But in this case, that's nice.
Okay, let me give you another one. Fighting for your love was an exhausting and wasteful pastime. I think I was with you out of love and you were with me out of habit. Your glass was always half empty, and in the process of being together, you were pouring out everything I had left in mine. The thing is, you weren't better than me. Let's be honest, we both thought, no, you thought you were. It took me being on my own to realize how much more lonely I'd felt when I was with you.
Whoa, okay.
I think what I love about that is just how raw it is. And I feel like there's very few times, like, you know, there's movies where you write stuff down and you throw it in a fire, or you like scrap up a letter and never read it to anyone. And but very rarely do we get like insight into people's actual emotions and actual like...
And in response to like a very public newsletter.
Yeah.
Like people were just being like, hey, let me tell you my innermost thoughts.
But I honestly, yeah, there's a lot that we're going to cover hopefully in this episode if we don't run out of time. But I think one thing is that if we have the strength to look back at past relationships that we've had, both romantically, but I think these could also be familial friendship. We talk about this a lot. Not everything's about romance. There's a lot of different ways to have intimacy. If we can have the strength to kind of look back at them and actually be that honest and not try wrap it up with a nice bow, then we learn so much more than being like, no, I'm all good. Honestly, it's fine. And then it all comes out like 5 years later.
Yeah, I hate... This is actually something we spoke about when I was like 3 mezcals in. Like even at the end of... And this is not related, but kind of related. At the end of like one of these chats that we had on stage at this panel, it was like, and now what's something positive that can come out of X? And one of the guys was like, why do we have to end every single thing with like a positive takeaway? Like sometimes we can just be critical and find a way forward. But there is like sometimes not always a just really toxically positive way to frame this, or else we don't take it seriously. And I feel like that is what this person's done. They've been like, no, if I actually want to learn, then I have to say this like for what it is. And it wasn't the bee's knees.
Oh, I love that. There is, and I'm pretty sure I've quoted this before, but there's an Alain de Botton, I think it's a podcast episode where he talks about this and how I relate, like romantic relationships are the only thing we see as a failure if they don't last like forever.
Whoa.
Like everything else has like a limit on it, right? You're not going to work until you die. Like you're not going to run a marathon. You stop it one day. I don't know. Like everything ends, like, and we like it finishes and you're like, great, that's success. I wrap that up. But relationships are the only thing where like, it's only a success if it never ends.
Yeah. Maybe what we put, term dates on relationships.
Love that.
Yeah, only allowed 3
best
years
before.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to read one more. I'm going to read one more because I love this one. To my ex, I would like to say thank you and I'm sorry. Thank you for showing me the work I very clearly needed to do on myself to be better, and I'm sorry I pushed you away to do it. I'll always regret not keeping you by my side like you always offered to do, and for not fighting for us more like you wanted to and did. We're both in better places now, but I still wonder what if I'd done it with you instead of without you. You were and always will be the one who got away.
Oh, that's kind of...
I love that.
That's like a really heartbreaking thing to hear. Like they knew that they weren't there yet, and then they have this one. I reckon the one that got away, like the movie Love, Rosie. Me, can't relate in real life because don't care that enough about anyone. But Love, Rosie, I'm like
that film, I watch it I think once every 6 months and I bore.
I know, it just feels like, because wait, spoiler, do they end up together in the end or not?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, okay. See, in real life you don't always have a nice bow of toxic positivity like Love, Rosie, but oh, that's a really amazing response.
Oh, speaking of things that made me cry, just quickly, I watched the Bridgerton spinoff on the plane back, and
I haven't even watched Bridgerton normal.
I wouldn't like recommend, but honestly the ending for me, Rupert looked over and he was like, are you okay? I think you're just sunburned. I was sobbing. Sobbing.
Sorry, you're like red in the face now, but are you just
and he wasn't wrong, I was sunburned. So
God.
Anyway, those little X clips, thank you to everyone who sent them in. And there's a whole bunch more that I think I'll put in the newsletter because I really love reading them all together. And it just shows the full spectrum of emotion we can feel about things. But in line with this article, I also wrote an article where I interviewed a relationship therapist and I asked her a bunch of questions. And so a lot of the stuff that I'm going to go through today is from that because it's literal trickle down therapy, which I love. But she talks about the two myths about love that we buy into. The first is that the other person is the total key to my happiness and they owe it to me to make me happy. I am not responsible for my own happiness or maturity. This creates a sense of entitlement and is a cause for much frustration within relationships. Luce, thoughts?
I love that. Like, it's they are not responsible for your maturity or your happiness, and you can't rely on them. Like, it's got to come from you. I'm like the biggest proponent. I love that.
You actually really are. I feel like that's very enlightened. You don't need to learn that one. I feel like you know that.
Thank you. That's why I'm so good in romantic relationships. I just know myself so well.
She's healed, everyone. She's healed.
Us just sarcastically. Well, mine was actually honestly telling you, wow, you're so healed. And you to me, it's like,
you
it's
are
like our catchphrase. You're so
We're
healed.
Actually changing the name of the podcast. Healed.
Healed. Oh.
No. Okay. And the second lie, a lot of people believe that intimate happiness, so romantic happiness, is attained through a 50-50 ideal of equality and sameness. So basically, wanting your partner to be the same person as you. This can lead to resentment and futile attempts to make our partner exactly the same as us, and usually leads to being a killer of the relationships, scorekeeping, and self-protection if I feel my relationship is unfair. That one I absolutely love, and there is so much I could say on this that we don't have time for today, but I think the idea, there's again another Alain de Botton, I'll quote him a lot, but he talks about how the like fact of the matter is you are going to end up, if you want to end up with someone, the person you will end up with will probably be the wrong quotation marks person. Not in the sense that they treat you badly, of course, but in the sense that you can't be with someone who's exactly the same as you, and that isn't a good mark of like a great relationship. I love that.
On Love Island, when they're always like, you're like the girl version of me, or you're like the boy yes. version of me, as if it's like the best thing ever. I'm like, oh my fucking God, I could never like be with someone that was like this. Me, I'm pointing at myself, that was like this. I agree. Fuck that, being with the other person that was exactly like you.
I think there's like, I'm so torn on this because I do think, for instance, I'm quite extroverted. I'm super extroverted. And like, Rupert is also, like, my partner is also extremely extroverted. Like, we are probably, and before we met, people said to us, you are the, like, versions of each other. So I was like, this will never work. Like, this could.
In theory, everything I've read is telling me.
I'm also like, we will be, like, we'll be competing for, like, all the friends in the room. B, we'll be out talking each other. Like, I thought I needed to be with like a broody.
Let me change you.
yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I needed to be with like a melancholic, broody artiste who's like, I don't know, like,
who's like, I bring out
of their shell.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And that, like, is not A, what I want, and B, not Rupert. And somehow it works, but we're different in so many other ways. So I also want to say that this isn't like, you can't date an extrovert. You have to date an introvert. Or like, you're an Enneagram 4. Don't date it.
Yeah. I feel like that's the caveat that goes across all of these podcasts. Is like, what we're saying are like very general myths. And like, they don't apply to every single person. You could be with someone that's exactly like you and have the best fucking time in the world. And honestly, go off for that.
And honestly, pop could up. But it'll be different. No.
But do you find that with Rupert, you... like, you do fight for, like, the same, like, to be the, like best friend to all the friends, or, like, the host or the hostess with the most or whatever? Like,
that's so weirdly, and this is, I hate this. This has turned into, like, a corny thing, so I'm sorry, everyone. But, like, weirdly, it, like, has just doubled everything. So, like, we will host everything at our house because we both love to host things, and like, I'll be making dinner, he'll be pouring drinks. Like, you almost become like, you just amplify it, like, rather than battling,
you're a team, rather than a competition.
Yes, but I think probably when we were dating, probably definitely, like, for sure.
Like, hey, shut up, like, they're my friends, do not charm them right now.
Literally, literally, I think actually that's probably very true.
Yeah, no, honestly, because I can see, I'm also obviously super fucking extroverted.
Yeah.
And I am drawn to people that maybe aren't so extroverted because I love making people feel comfortable and bring them out of their shell, whatever. But then if there's someone else in the room doing that, I don't often view it as like, sweet, both of us are like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hey, that's like what I usually, that's what I do. It's like, let me talk to this person. Yeah, why? Not in like a toxic way, but I just can see what you're saying.
Yeah, it is so interesting. And I think, but then the benefit of that as well is like, because you're both like that externally, genuinely, I don't know, I feel like you're very similar to me. Like, we both retreat, right? And like, we're energized by people, but we equally, like, I could curl up with a book for hours and just like get some space. But I'm also like, hate being alone. And so it's also great because I feel like I spend way more time just like doing nothing at home or whatever, because Rupert's also there doing nothing.
Yeah.
Like, even in separate rooms, but I'm like, we're recharging, but like separately, but together.
That's where we differ. It's like, I love to be alone. I like it probably more than being around people.
That is so, she's very healed.
No, I reckon that's like, I've over-boundaried. I've boundaried too close to the sun, and I'm like, yeah, being around people
such
is
an
great.
Eight.
Yeah, I know. Such an eight.
Such
anyway,
an eight. Anyway.
Thankful for your ex, because right now we're talking about why you're thankful for your husband.
I mean, yeah, I feel like we'll come up with the title of this podcast at the end. I feel like trickle-down therapy is probably more what it is.
Yeah.
It's around, so this is another quote which I'll lead into. Love is not about meeting someone to make you happy. That's just the romantic phase to get you bonded. Then pretty soon all relationships develop power and control battles that expose the need we have to grow up in an area. Now, this is something I took away from therapy that I find super, super interesting, because I think it applies to, A, it applies to friendships as well as relationships, but also you can just, you see it playing out. You see it in Love Island, you see it in celebrity media, like, and it's the five stages of relationship that you will, it's not like you go from A to B and you arrive at B and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in a relationship. Like, I'm with this person now, we're here forever. For the rest of your life in relationship, you will go through this cycle. Mm. But basically it's that the stages of a relationship are cyclical, not linear. So the stages it talks about are merge, doubt and denial, disillusionment, the decision, and wholehearted love.
Whoa.
So merging, this is when two people meet and they feel like they have met their perfect match. They are so eerily compatible. I can't believe I've met the, you know, female version of myself or whatever. I want to be together with you. We have no boundaries. We merge together into one. You forget about your friends for a while. Like, it's the, you know, Love Island day three, like, mm-hmm. when they're saying, I can't believe that, you know, I found someone here. And it's very like the rational part of your brain is essentially drowned out. You got a lot of endorphins going on. You're infatuated. And I don't know how long this goes on for, but at some point in the relationship, the second stage will come in, which is doubt and doubt and denial, in which we start to notice like little differences. We wake up from the trance of infatuation. Things that once seemed really cute about them start to annoy you. Yeah. You're
or
starting to
it's
get
too
the
good
ick.
To be true.
Yes.
Like, there must be something wrong that I haven't seen yet. Yeah.
Exactly. You're starting to get the ick, particularly like, this is one where things that you did love about them, you start to be like, oh, like someone who's super, super generous, all of a sudden you're like, gosh, that's so irresponsible. Like, they're literally paying for drinks every single night for other people. Like, what are they doing? Like, mm-hmm. They're super adventurous and you love that when you first started dating, but now you're like, this is really spontaneous. I feel a little bit unsafe. It's unnecessary. And then the third stage is disillusionment. So this is like they call the winter season of love, which can feel like the end of the road for some couples. Basically, you've been like struggling in this power dynamic for a while and the issues have come to the surface. Everything you've put under the rug and be like, it's fine, you can't ignore it anymore. And you kind of come to the fourth stage, which is the decision, where you're at breaking point. And I think the thing with this is it's not like this isn't like across 8 weeks. This could be across like 9 years that a couple goes over this, or they could go through this like two times in the stage of their relationship.
Yeah.
There's things like, what do people say, like the 7 year itch or something, the something itch?
Got no idea.
People say these things, but there's stages when the chemicals in your brain start to wear off, the chemicals that are like, we should bond together because we would be good together and we should procreate, those start to wear off. And you come to this point where you're at a decision. You have to, you're having emotional breakdowns, you're leaving the house, you have to get away from each other. You basically are like, I'm either going to stay with you or I'm not. And then the final stage is the wholehearted love stage. This is all in quotation marks. Essentially, for couples who at that decision stage, you go, you know what, I'm going to push through. I decide to be with you despite knowing all this stuff about you. Then your relationship is at its healthiest, it's most rewarding. Like all the labors that you've gone through, you're like, oh my goodness, it was worth it. Like, we're not perfect, but we work together. And then they go back to being infatuated, stage one.
Wow.
And so the cycle continues for the rest of your life.
That's such good advice. In terms of it's not linear, like it's a cycle that repeats. I feel like if a lot of people were taught that in high school, it would make you see relationships so much like differently and maybe more healthily.
And hold them way more lightly. Like the yes. number of times I had friends and myself been like, we're going on a break. We're going on a break. It's the be all end all. It's like,
yeah,
hold it lightly. It's like, a cycle. Okay.
You're actually just at this point again, but then you'll be at this point again if you choose to be. I think that is such good, like, tangible shit that me, can take from this.
It's something I've come back to a lot, both with, like, myself and my own life, with friends who are going through relationships and breakups, because also it's, like, how quickly you're going through that cycle is probably, like, if you are someone who's been sitting in that decision stage for, like, several years and you're, like, mm-hmm. every day is like, oh, I think we need to break up, I think we need to, like, probably just, like, do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's, it should be fluid.
Yeah.
Exactly. It should be fluid and it should be moving. And I also think it's very pertinent for friendships as well, because, like, you meet a new friend, you're like, oh, my God, you're the best person in the world. I can't believe it. This is amazing. And, like, your friendship will go through hardships and things like that, and they deepen as you go through those things. And I don't think it's as, like, clear-cut as a relationship where you're actively choosing to be with someone, because, as we've talked about before, friendship breakups and stuff are, like, something we don't really do, like, in this society. But
yeah.
I think if we can keep that in mind with our friendships as well, it's like, not everything's summer. You're going to have a winter yeah. season, but it's going to come back around.
Yeah, that's great. Great advice from whatever therapist trickles down
her.
To you.
We love her. And then coming of, like, off the back of that is this idea, and we've talked about it a lot in our Date the Person Who Makes You Cringe episode with attachment theory. But this is around your, like, I guess, for lack of a better term, childhood wounds. That really makes me cringe, that, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And the idea that essentially the partner choices that you make can be based on an unconscious attraction to a subtle pattern matches that is familiar to how your earliest experiences of love, both familial and romantic love, were. And kind of, we are attracted to people who could possibly heal some of those unfinished, like, emotional wounds and business of, like, childhood or, like, early adolescenthood. Mm. And so I won't talk about that too much, because if you want to listen to it, I think go back to that episode where we talk about attachment styles and all that kind of stuff. But one thing that I thought could be a fun interaction activity, Luce,
oh God.
Is to, and I partly want to do it because I think you're going to hate it, is there is a type of dialogue called Imago dialogue. Have you heard of it before?
Never heard of it. Never.
So this is really, really good. I actually first heard about it when I was working in retail, and it was like how you deal with difficult customers. But it's also a, like, skill that they give you if you're ever in relationship counseling or, like, anything like that. It's kind of how to talk to someone and mirror them and then validate them and then treat them with empathy. And I personally can't think of anything worse than doing this with my partner. But I think if you were struggling with kind of some of these things that we've talked about, where you've got something coming up and the other person's just not really hearing you, this is a really interesting thing to do. So the first part is mirroring. And this is where you basically repeat back everything that someone has said to you. And you could also do this if a friend's coming to you with something, if you're having a difficult friendship, breakup, conversation, whatever. So, Luce, I want you to come to me and tell me something about your week that you found hard.
I, for the past two mornings, have had to get up really fucking early, and by the end of the day, I feel emotionally out of whack because I'm too tired that I need to cry or something.
Okay, so, Luce, what I'm hearing, and this is Meryn, what I'm hearing is that you woke up really early the past few days and that you feel like you might cry and that it's been really hard for you. Did I get all that?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Well, yeah. And then the last stage, so that's like, essentially you mirror exactly what they said. You validate it by saying, did I get everything? You reiterate to them what they've just said and kind of ask them if anything was misunderstood. It's all about, like, visible cues as well. And then the third step is empathy. So the ability to understand and identify with their feelings, saying things like, I imagine that waking up early for the past 2 days and having to continue throughout your day can make you feel really exhausted. Is that how you feel? And showing, kind of trying to put yourself in their shoes. And it is so wooden. And I, as you can tell, I'm not very good at doing it because I just laughed in Lucy's face, which is the opposite of what you should do. But I think the main takeaway from this is that if you can remember to mirror someone, to validate someone, and to like offer empathy to, in any situation, this is with your boss, this is with your colleague, this is with your friend telling you something, this is like any difficult conversation, this is with a shitty customer. Like, these three things can genuinely change the direction of a conversation and make someone feel like they've actually been heard.
Like, I don't, that honestly, when you were doing it properly, it didn't feel wooden. It like, it felt like a good thing that you could do, especially people that don't like confrontation and need a framework to be able to, or like don't like offering advice. It's like a good framework to be able to do it. So as much as it was like, I gave a pretty shitty like thing for you to work off, and then you laughed at me, and then we got to the nitty gritty. Like, I still feel like that's really good advice.
It is, and I think the main way it's meant to be used is if you are in a relationship with someone, perhaps who, or you're dating someone or whatever, who you are really, really different, and you just cannot seem to see eye to eye. Having a framework like this, while it is kind of wooden and like beige, can actually help you to understand where the other person is coming from, because it's almost impossible to not hear someone when you're having to repeat back to them like 7 times what they've just said to you.
Yeah, you really are. That's actually really fucking good for people that you're just like, you're just not getting this. Let's try this.
Exactly, exactly. Try it with your employer, see how it goes.
So everyone, maybe that can be on your radar. And honestly, I know that me and Laura didn't give a very good example of it, but that's how you can practice it, like with your friends. It's how you can get comfortable if you have to go and have that convo with your partner or something. You can practice it and laugh at each other and then be like, right, but I am ready to do this properly now.
100. And also, you know someone I think it would work really well on? Parents.
Yes.
I feel like this is something you could do with like a parent that you don't quite know how to talk to about something. You know, they like to repeat things. Grandparents, pop off everyone.
Just play them this podcast and be like, guys, we need to do this. And then they will really, like, try explaining this to a Victorian child. Like, this.
Try explain. Honestly. Anyway, that could be on your radar this week, everyone. What else is on your radar, Luz?
On my radar, we've launched a book club, and it starts in June. And the book Laura has read, it's Romantic Comedy by Curtis Sittenfeld. Laura, without giving spoilers, good book or?
Perfect. I came on this podcast and I said, who's got book recommendations for me? And first of all, thank you everyone who sent me them. I literally read 4 books when I was in Mallorca and they were all fabulous. But Romantic Comedy is probably the perfect summer holiday beach read. It made me want to read a lot up on like Saturday Night Live, which I had never had a desire to do before. And I've downloaded like 2 biographies since then. So stay tuned.
Oh my God. Okay. So yes, that's for all our Cisco supporters. And it's like, you know, going to be going for ages. So you can drop in and drop out whenever you want. Or if there's a book that you're really into, we also have discount codes. We want to make it really as easy as possible for you to get your hands on these books. And we just want to make reading fun again when there's so much to choose from, like book-wise and media-wise. Let's choose 1 book a month, eh? Let's all
do that. I love
that. Laura, what is on your radar, darl?
Well, on my radar this week was Romantic Comedy. I also read Book Lovers, which is part of, there's like a, I'm going to forget, I think her name is Emily Henry, and she's got a whole bunch of books called like Happy Place, Book Lovers, and they all have very similar covers, but they're all genuinely perfect beach reads, which I would recommend. And then also on my radar, which I talked about a bit before, was the Bridgerton spinoff that had me sobbing on the plane. For all of you who enjoyed Bridgerton, I enjoyed this way, way more. It's about Queen Charlotte. It flips between like young and old. I enjoyed it far more than Bridgerton, and I sobbed at the end. So
that is a great rec, especially for someone like me that tried to watch Bridgerton and it just didn't land. So
yeah, I would recommend it. It was like an easy watch 5 episodes on the flight back kind of vibe.
Love that. Maybe I'll watch it on my flight to Sydney tomorrow, but probably not. I probably won't reach for that. Might have to read my book club book. But on that note, I must go and run. Laura, you must go and take some antibiotics or something. And it's just been joyous, as per usual, everyone.
As per usual. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.